Parashas Bamidbar, the parasha begins, Ayinaber Hashem al Moshe, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai, Boil Moed, Bechod Lachodesh Hasheni, Bashan Hashenis, Betsay Samaritz Mitzrayim Lemur. Toisvis in Megillah, and Daflamer Aleph Amid Beis explains that Chazal set the calendar so that Parashas Bamidbar always occurs before Shavuos. This year we have Nasar before Shavuos as well, but Bamidbar is always before Shavuos. They want the Torah reading before Shavuos to end with Bracha, as opposed to the curses that are present at the end of Sefer Vayikra. So we wouldn't want to have Shavuos right after Parashas Bruchu Kaisai, which has the Toichacha, the curses. So we always want to have, it's always at least Bamidbar, it's always got to be after Bamidbar. The curses of Parashat Bruchu Kaisai warn Klal Yisrael of what will happen if they violate the mitzvahs of the Torah. Chazal did this to detach the curses from the Yom Tov of Shavuos, a Yom Tov of Bracha and Simcha. As I state in Tosfos. And Moshe Feinstein says that Parashat Bamidbar is the Parashat before Shavuos to give every Yid very important chizuk. One might feel incapable of becoming a Talmud Chacham. Who might become a Talmud Chacham? When a person begins to feel this, his hopes and goals disappear. And this leads him to stop learning completely. He says, I don't have the capabilities. I can't be a Moshe Feinstein. I can't be a Gadol. I can't be a Talmud Chacham. How much could I learn? I don't understand so much. I don't have the knowledge, the base, the capabilities. We lay in Parashat Bamidbar, which discusses the census taken in the desert. In the Midbar, there was a census. They counted. This emphasizes that each and every single Yid is extremely important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps counting the Yidden over and over. There may be some that are greater than others. Definitely. Yet each individual Yid is an inextricable part of Klal Yisrael. Each and every Yid's job is to become as great as he can be to the best of his ability. Unbelievable words from Moshe. That's what we have to learn. We're going to learn Parashat Bamidbar this Shabbos. We should think about this. What does this mean for me? We're counting Klal Yisrael. Why do they have to get goes through with so many names over and over again? Why? So Moshe says, everyone says to show Chavivis, that's a famous pshat. But Moshe says more than that. Not just to show Chavivis, that of the branch onto Klal Yisrael, but on each and every individual Yid. Each person, he has a capability. He has his own tafkid. Medrash says, one that does not make himself into a midbar will not be able to acquire chachman Torah. What does it mean to make yourself like a midbar? How do you make yourself like a midbar? A desert? Hefker. What does that mean? Zok the Midrash. It is for this reason that the Torah begins this week's parasha that Hashem said to Moshe at Midbar Sinai. It says, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai." Why does it say b'midbar Sinai? Who cares? But what's b'midbar Sinai? Rav Shimon Schwab explains, when a person feels ani, I, that creates a separation between him and their Ribbono Shel Olam. However, when one makes himself hefker, not important. I'm nothing. I'm no one's. I'm not a gavra. I'm not I. I'm nothing. I'm hefker. Someone makes himself hefker. That is when a person is zeichet to chachman Torah. Hefker means that one realizes that his chachma comes from Hashem. A person that can have chachma, a person can know how to learn. He can have tremendous ideas, but it's not his. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who am I? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave me the capabilities. It's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's not the Baal Bas over it. To the point that if one is mechadish chedushei Torah, he should not mind if someone else repeats his chedushim to a tzibur without mentioning his name. There's a name of Schwab. You shouldn't care. Right? I came up with a tremendous chedush, beautiful pshat, and then I tell it over to someone, and then I go to a shir, and I'm sitting in the crowd, and I hear him say over my pshat. Doesn't say I said it. It makes like it's his own. Shouldn't care, Zad Rav Shimon Schwab. You know why? It's not yours. You have care. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the capabilities in Mechadish. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not yours. I care it. He's saying it over. People are learning. Wonderful. What's the problem? There's one main difference between American law and Jewish law. American law is, what are my rights? I. Everything's I. Capital I. I is always capital. Why? Because I. The focus is on I. What does it say in Torah? What's the halachas of Torah? It's not what your rights are. If you look into the halachas of Torah, it's what's your obligations. What's your obligations to your wife? Doesn't say is well. You're required to. You're entitled to this and this. It says no. You have obligations to your wife. Your wife might have obligations to you. It's true. There are certain things. If other people have obligations to you, it's true. But that's not the focus. The focus is what's your obligations. You have to have kibud av v'em. That's an obligation on you. Yes, it's true that if someone is a parent, the child is supposed to have kavod for them. It's true. But we don't talk about that. When was the last time you heard it saying, Mr. Father, you know, you're owed kavod. We don't talk about it. It's not your owed kavod. We look at the child. The child, we tell him, you have to be mechabed your father. It's always, what are your obligations? That's the key difference. When a person, a yid, who wants to acquire chokhmah and teira, it's not I. It's what do I have to do in this world? What's my obligations? You have to make yourself like Hefker. It says in the Pasuk, the itchem you, Pasuk Dalet, ish ish lamate, ish reish leveis avaisavu. The Pesukim use the word ish, and anoshim over here, elish mois anoshim, itchem you, ish ish lamate, ish reish leveis avaisavu. What's all this ish and anoshim? This counting over here is after the Nesiim brought Karbonis for the inauguration of the Mishkan. Why does the Torah use the word Ish if we are being introduced for the first time? The Torah should have called them Nesiim, their proper title. Why does it say, it's over here, it says, hey, one second. These are the Nesiim. Why are Elish Mois HaNoshim? These are the Nesiim, Elishumi Aben Tzurishadai, Nashim Ben Aminado. This is the Nesiim of Klal Yisrael. So why does it call them HaNoshim? The answer is that the Torah is teaching us this lesson of Hefker. A few weeks earlier, they were called Nesiim of Klal Yisrael. They were bringing Karbonis as head of the respective Shevet. When they brought the Karbonis, they were called Nesiim. That's what they were called. They were titled over there Nesiim. However, they saw themselves as nothing more than an Ashim. They weren't. When they walked, they didn't say, oh, I'm an Asi. An Ashim, I'm a man. Ish, just like everybody else. They held to themselves like regular people. Anyone else in Klal Yisrael. When it says in the Pasuk, in Pasuk Yizayim, Yigach Moshe Aaron, Eis HaNoshim O'Ela Hashem Nikfu B'Shemois, they took these men, took these people, the Pshat is that they saw themselves as nothing more than an Hashem. That's the godless. You want to know one of the biggest godless of the Nesiim, that they held to themselves as nothing more than an Hashem. That's true godless. After the Torah tells us the names of the Nesiim, the Torah again counts Klal Yisrael. Rashi says that the repetition shows endearment. We go through a whole thing, Vayub and Reuven, after we say the Nesiim, Vayub and Reuven, B'chor Yisrael, we go through a whole thing again. The Rashi tells that shows Chavivus. Perhaps, like the Halachas, you could explain this, of Odom Mashesh B'Kisei. The Gemara in Bab Metzia and Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis says, if a person has money in his pockets, he is constantly checking his pockets to make sure that it is there. It's an Egei Halach of a person, if you find money, and it's in the Shuk, How could you be kind of money if I'm after it? I think it's lost. But maybe I don't know about it. So the Gemara says a Svara that I'm always checking. If I have money in my pockets, I'm always checking to make sure it's there. So if you find the chances I already know I lost it, and I was after it, because that's not, why should anyone return it to me, and you can keep it. Rich people often count their money over and over again. The known thing, they go into their bank in the old days, and they used to go into the bank. Now there's a thing, just look on the computer to see your money, can't count it. In the old days, they had gold coins, and they would go, and they would count it over and over, go into the thing. They love counting it. It makes them feel good. It makes the person feel good. Look, you know, I just counted, I have 10 million gold coins. You know, it's a good feeling. How come this Baruch Hu keeps counting Klal Yisrael? Because he loves us so much. That's the reason why. He's in the, and Baruch Hashem, we're valuable to him. Mamashish Bikisei. Rav Shimon Schwab says the Torah counts Klal Yisrael again by the Degolim, by their flags. All of Klal Yisrael probably had a great desire to be near the Mishkan, right? We had Klal Yisrael left, there was no specific order, and now we're gonna have Degolim, we're gonna have flags, they're gonna be separated by flags, the Mishkan is going to be in the center, but some people are going to be near the Mishkan, and some are they going to be further away from the Mishkan. Certain people got flags, that they were close, most of them, Fakir, got moved away from the Mishkan. The Leviim got to be right near the Mishkan. We do not see anywhere that anyone in Klal Yisrael complained. When all this the Golem happened, we see no point any complaints. Unfortunately, in Klal Yisrael complaint, Harry tells us. But over here, we don't see any complaints. Imagine you have a seat in the shul one day, you're sitting near the front, and all of a sudden one day, bang, you're in the back. You're not very happy. You used to have this, unless you want to talk Chas v'Shalom in the shul, but we're talking about, we don't want to talk in shul, certainly not. But if you have a good seat, and all of a sudden you don't have a good seat anymore. You're not very happy about it. I was right near the Mishkan. It is for this great act that Klal Yisrael merited to be counted again. That's why they were Zeicha. Shimon Shraf said, because they were some of them, most of Klal Yisrael were pushed away from the Mishkan. But you know what? Everyone has his own tafkid. There are some that should be near the Mishkan and some further. The fact that you're further away doesn't mean that you have to be further from their Ribono Shel Olam. In this world, everyone has their tafkid, what they have to accomplish. But each one could still have that connection on his own level. Klal Yisrael received the Degolim only after the Mishkan was built. Before there was a Mishkan, there was no Degolim. Perhaps the Mishkan being built caused Klal Yisrael not to complain regarding being moved away from the Mishkan. It's because there was a Mishkan there. Before there was a Mishkan, maybe there would have been complaints. But now there's a Mishkan, no complaints. Why? Separating Klal Yisrael by flag earlier would have caused dissension among them. Why are you ahead of me? Why are you there? It wasn't fair. Why do you get a better spot? However, after the Mishkan was erected, everyone saw clearly what was important in life. They all shared a common goal. What was the common goal? The Ratzon Hashem. We all want to do Ratzon Hashem. So what's the difference if I'm here? If the Ratzon Hashem is for me to be out here and to be Ovid Hashem out here, then that's Ratzon Hashem. He wants you to be up there closer to the Mishkan. That's also Ratzon Hashem. Did not matter where they are placed. Every individual has a job to do for the greater good of this one unit called Klal Yisrael. When there was a Mishkan, the Mishkan was there, that created Achdus in Klal Yisrael. When it doesn't matter if I'm the pinky toe or the nose or the heart, you're a part. Each one, you're all one. So everyone, the pinky toe has to do the pinky toe's job. It's important also. When counting the Yidden again by the Golem, Tari mentions the Nesim again. Klal Yisrael saw that the Nesim were acting with humility as if they were only Anoshim. It mentions the Nesim again as Anoshim. That's the key. You have the Golem. Klal Yisrael adopted that meat of not thinking of himself. No Ani. I'm not Ani. We're all nothing compared to the Ribono Shel Olam. We all have a job to do, and we all have to be as great as we can be. Don't forget what Moshe Feinstein Zecher Tzadik V'Levracha said. We all have capabilities. Each one on his own level. We all have capabilities. We lane this parasha. That's the point. But you should know, you don't have to be the front. You don't have to be, it's not, I'm important. It's from a point of Hefker. Not Ani. I'm in the Midbar, and it's not Ani. When we, a little bit later in the parasha, Pasuk says, famous Pasuk, famous Rashi, Ve'elet Holas Aaron and Moshe. These are the offspring of Aaron and Moshe. And these are the names of Aaron. Right? So we said, these are the offspring of Aaron and Moshe. And then we go on to delineate the children of Aaron. Obvious question. What happened to the children of Moshe? We don't quote them. Rashi explained that we learned from this pasuk that Aaron's children were also considered Moshe's children. Aaron's children, Nadab, Aviv, Eleazar, Yisamar, the four children of Aaron, they were all Aaron's children, they were also Moshe's children. Why? He says, we learn from this pasuk, the one who teaches his friend's son Torah is as if he bore him. Quoting Gemara in Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron's son Torah, and therefore they also considered his children. We have a question here though. Let's think about this a little bit. While we understand that because Moshe taught Aaron's children Torah, it is that they are his children. But why didn't the Torah Taka also mention Moshe and his children? Very nice. Beautiful. Pshat. Wonderful. Aaron's children are also like Moshe's children. But why don't we mention Moshe's children? We are Moshe's children. The Bei Moshe says, we see from here the great Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu, the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. That he did not really have a connection to a being of flesh and blood. Unbelievable. Bei Moshe, the Azarava. Unbelievable. The Maral says, on the pasuk in Shemois, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikech et bas Levi. The ish from the house of Levi took bas Levi. Doesn't tell us the names. We know the name. Mash tells us the name. We're talking about the parents of Moshe Rabbeinu. But why doesn't it say it? Why doesn't the pasuk say, Vayelech Amram and Vayikach is your chavad? Why does it say mi beis Levi? Doesn't reveal their names. The reason for this is, as I state in the Maral, because Moshe was the one who led Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe did not have a strong connection to them, his parents. Moshe became he raised his level of Ruchni, his Madrega of Ruchni is to the point that he couldn't give him such a connection to a human being. Unbelievable word. The Moshe is taking it from this morale. Moshe's connection was to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Moshe's Yichus before him and after him was only the Rabbeinu Shalom. Wow. So the Moshe is taking off from the morale. Morale says, it doesn't say Moshe's parents, because Moshe didn't have a connection that way. And the Bei Moshe then extrapolates further that the reason why the Pasuk over here doesn't mention Moshe's children's names, because Moshe's connection is to the Torah. Not that he didn't have children. He had children, and he had parents, and he was a human being. But he was raised such an exalted level that the only connection we really attribute to him is the Torah HaKadosh. Yes, when talking about Aaron's children, they're also called Moshe's children because of the Torah. That's the point. Because of the Torah. So Amori says, one's children are mentioned for a shlemus of the person. Aaron was very great, but his children helped his shlemus. Aaron was a person is brokar devu, is a concept that a child is a part of the father. So a person is, even now, how great he is, his children, if his children do good deeds and they become great, they make him more of a shalem, make the father more complete. So Aaron was great, but he wasn't shalem, complete. His children helped his shlemus. Moshe Rabbeinu was shlemus amiti. He was complete, pureness shlemus. True shlemus, and therefore there's no need to mention Moshe's children. Unbelievable. So the reason why I mention children is to help and give more credence and more shlemus to the father. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need it. He was on such a great level, it wasn't necessary. Rabbeinu Zechariah says that Moshe's children are not mentioned here because they were not zeicha to Yitzias Mitzrayim and to go through the Yam together with Klal Yisrael. Moshe's children, they were missing something that they weren't zeicha to see Yitzias Mitzrayim, and therefore we don't mention them. They don't have the chashivas to be mentioned. Shteit in the Derech Chaim in Teichachos Musar the Shlo HaKodesh Ve'elet Holis Aaron U'Moshe. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, like we said before, we learn from this pasuk over here that if someone teaches his friend's son Torah, it is as if he bore him. But he didn't. But didn't actually. The father and mother of a person give him his guf, and his rebbe's mashpia his neshama. The Torah is the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Praised is one who learns and teaches his friend's son the Torah HaKadosh. One who does it for free receives twice as much reward. As I say in the Shlosh, you should know. He didn't actually bear him, but it's as if. Zok the Goy. One is called a person's child based on the physical aspect, and a Talmud is called a child based on the wisdom that he receives from his Rebbe. Someone is, a Rebbe has a Talmud, the Talmud receives his wisdom from his Rebbe, so he's called the child of the Rebbe. We see from here, Zok the Goy, the great power of speech, the koyach of the peh, which is moilad banim ruchniim, which creates children of ruchniis. As I said in the goyim, there's another goyim in Mishlei. Pri tzadik eitz chayim v'lekeach nefashos chacham. The fruit of a righteous one is a tree of life, and a wise man acquires souls. Zok the goyim. Pri tzadik eitz chayim is a person's sons. For one who leaves behind sons, it is as if he is alive. V'lekeach nefashos chacham is a person's talmidim, which are greater achievement than his children. Children are benefesh, but talmidim are benesham. So talmidim, tremendous, that taking on the Rebbe, that they continue the Rebbe's words of Torah, that's even greater than a what we call from an actual child from the father, but this is in Ruchni, it's not in Gashmi's. Teir Tamimi says, Why do we give the titles of Av and Ben to a Rebbe and his Talmud? Why do we have to call him an Av and a Ben? Yeah, Rebbe and a Talmud. The pasuk in Bereishis says, "Vatelet Odas Yovel Hu Hayo Avi Yosef Oyel Mikne and Ada Bor Yovel." He was the father. This is in the pasuk of those who dwell in tents. He was the first one. He was the father of those who dwell in tents. Avi Yosef Oyel Umikne and breed cattle. The pasuk says. The name of his brother was Yuval. He was the father of all who handled the harp and the flute. We see from these psukim that if one makes known that which was not previously known, that you create something that wasn't there before, is given the title Av. Right? So in other words, Yuval, his father was the one who created the harp and the flute, so he's called the father of the Av. And we have the same thing by Avi Yeshua Mikna, that was Yovel Nuvel. So, and he was the one who was the first one tents, that he dwelled in tents and bred cattle. Start the Torah to Mima. When a Rebbe teaches Torah, he makes known something which is not known to the Talmud before. Therefore he is called an Av and the Talmud is a Ben. Because an Av, the point is that he brings something new, and if a Rebbe teaches the Talmud Torah, he teaches him something new, he's called by the name of an Av. The Imei Shefer says, and it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, Vishinan Tam Levanecha, you shall teach them the commandments of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to your children, Levanecha. Rashi says the word children here refer to Talmidim. We see numerous places the Talmidim are called children. Zokhtim Arshah and the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Adaf Tzadi Tesam and Beish, Zoyis Hoysa Tachlas Abriya. Man without Torah knowledge has no advantage over an animal. Nothing different than an animal. It is only the knowledge of the Torah HaKadosh that separates one from animals and makes one worthy of being called man for the Torah's purpose of creation. The Nadi Yehuda says, one can be Mikhaya Mitzvah Olam Hazeh as long as he is alive. However, once he is no longer alive, he can no longer perform mitzvahs. This includes even Talmidim. For once he is no longer alive, he can no longer teach them the Torah. The Rebbe can't teach the Talmidim Torah anymore. However, if one is Reich HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write Svarim of MS with Tzedek, this person does not stop from producing Torahs even after his death. Talmidim are learning new Torah from his Svarim. As they state in the Nedev Yehuda. Ten the Shach HaTorah. It says, Ve'ela Torahs Aaron Moshe. V'eile with a vav is to include what was recounted before. What was before? Eile pekudei b'nei Yisrael. These are the countings of b'nei Yisrael. All of Klai Yisrael were considered tailors of Moshe and Aaron. Why? Because Moshe and Aaron taught Klai Yisrael Torah. Aaron taught all of Klai Yisrael Torah just as Moshe did. Moshe would say halacha and Aaron would repeat it. Perhaps the reason that Aaron's name is mentioned first, they tell us Aaron and Moshe, because Klai Yisrael were afraid to go to Moshe. So they asked Aaron more of their shaylas. As they state in the Shach HaTorah, it says in Shemais, "Vayiru migeshes," and they, Klai Yisrael, feared to approach Moshe. And it says in the pasuk in Malachi, "V'teri yivakshim pihu," they should seek Torah from his mouth. Over there, it's talking about Aaron HaKohen. It says in the Shlul Rav, quotes a Chochmah Shleima, the mitzvah of Kayim Piri Rivia. Chazal say that if one raises orphans in his home, it is as if he bore them. Does that mean that if one does not have any of his own children and raises orphans in his home, that he's mekayim the mitzvah of piri v'rivya? It's a mitzvah to have children. And we know that if someone he brings up orphans, it's as if they're his children. So is he mekayim the mitzvah? How does that affect the Chochmah Shleima? The answer to this question hinges on the machlokes between the Drisha and the Taz in Yerideya. The Drisha says that when it says ki'ilu, it is as if, it does not mean that it is an exact comparison. It is as if they are your children. While the Taz says that it means it is exactly what we are comparing it to. It's exactly, it is your children. And the Chazal say that one who raises orphans in his home, it is as if he bore them. So according to the Taz, he's actually mekayim the mitzvah period of Yerivya, when the Drisha would hold fakirat. Unbelievable. So the Taz holds, if someone raises orphans, mamish to his children. Klayaka says, They are called Moshe's children. Aaron's children are called Moshe's children because it was in the tzchus of his tefillos that they were alive. And he says, Rashi in Devarim says, Moshe's tefillos helped and saved half of Aaron's children. Aaron's children, he's quoting over there, it seems that all of Aaron's children were supposed to die, all four of them, because of the chet, whatever that was, machlokes. It could be because of Aaron as well, because Aaron did the eagle, all the different pshatim, not, yes, many, many different explanations, but they were all supposed to die, and Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and two were saved. Perhaps now we can understand why the Torah does not mention Moshe's children. Our purpose on this world is to follow the Ratzon Hashem. Not only are we required to learn the Torah ourselves, but we're also supposed to teach it to others and to future generations. Our children, our grandchildren. The Torah says these are the toes of Moshe and Aaron, and the Torah proceeds with, these are the children of Aaron. Perhaps when the Torah uses the word toldos here, it refers to spiritual offspring. While when it says b'nei, it refers to physical. So when the Torah says v'eile toldos Moshe and Aaron, these are the spiritual children of Moshe and Aaron, is referring to the previous psukim, what was before, which we speak about the counting of the entire Klal Yisrael, right before Eila Pekuvi, they come out the entire. So the Eila, that's the ending, perhaps, we can explain. The Eila says Aaron and Moshe is going back on before. These are the spiritual countings of Moshe and Aaron. What's these? The entire Klal Yisrael that we just mentioned. Comma, period. Now let's go further. And now you should know we're going to discuss Ve'ela told us, Ve'ela b'nei Aaron, and these are the children of Aaron, these are the actual physical children of Aaron. As we prepare for the awesome Yom Tov of Shavuos, we must keep in mind that Torah is true life. One who teaches Torah to another is considered as if he bore him because he provided him with life. Torah is life. We're counting up to Sphere. With Sphere, we're counting up to 50. If you'll notice, we say when we count Sphere, let's say on the 33rd night in Lag Baomer, we say Hayayim, Shloisho Shloishim Yom. Today is 33 days. We don't say today is the 33rd day. We don't say Hayoyim Yoyim Shloisho Shloishim. If you're saying it, that's incorrect. Not Hayoyim. Today is the 33rd day. But rather you're saying today is 33 days. Today is 33 days. What does that mean? I'm counting everything that I did till now. It includes everything. We're supposed to be counting every day as we get closer to Shavuos, as we go through Sphira. We're supposed to try to learn a little bit more and grow on a higher level. And it was not, oh, today's the 33rd day and the 32nd day is not relevant anymore and the 31st day is it. No. Each day I have all of it with me. So then when we come to Matan Torah after the 49th day, we have 49 days, not the 49th day, but rather we have 49 days that we're bringing with us. That we should prepare properly for the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and we should go into Shavuos and Matan Torah prepared with what? Life! The Torah Akedah. Have a good chance.